Please welcome Tim Crowley.
Well, today is the first day of winter, the shortest day of the year, and I celebrated by taking my dog and walking up on Black Hill there in Morro Bay. And I sat on a low branch of this tree I know, and I watched that solstice sun sink into the sea right between the twisted forks of a cypress tree. And as I sat there, I wondered why, even though it happens every year, I'm always a little bit surprised by the short days. I first start noticing them around my birthday, about halfway between summer and winter, about the same time that the ancient Celts celebrated Samhain or Halloween. They believed that that was the time of year where the barrier that separates this world and the next was thinnest and easiest to pass through from either direction. And they should know, because these were people that lived by the sun and the moon and the seasons. And they knew that these short days of long nights heralding the approaching winter were sacred. And Sundays are sacred too, because every one of them is like a little mini solstice for the week. Because you can see that big, vast, long, unbroken expanse of work or school stretching out in front of you forever. But you still have time to celebrate. And when I was in grammar school, Sundays literally were sacred, because I sang in the St. Genevieve's Men and Boys Choir. And from 9:45 to noon every Sunday for 5 school years, I was totally immersed in Catholicism. And by the time we get home from Mass, have our post-communion meal and that box of Winchell's donuts, it'd be about 1 o'clock. And I remember that feeling of melancholia that just seeped through me, because I knew I was running out of time. I knew that the weekend was dying. And I knew that even if I did go out, I had to be back early for Sunday dinner, because Sunday dinner was special, maybe even sacred. Because even though we always ate our evening meals together, on Sunday, we'd already been together most of the day. And on Sunday, it was going to be something good, like fried chicken or pot roast. And afterwards, we'd get to watch Lassie and Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. That last dying gasp of the weekend. But a couple hours before supper, my dad would come in from whatever chore he was doing and probably make me do with him. And he'd kick back in his recliner with a beer and channel surf using his remote, me. And right before the news, there was this program called The 21st Century with Walter Cronkite. And in it, he talked about how things were going to be in the future, how things were going to be now. And he had this one episode about the home office of the future. It took up a whole room, and it had computers and keyboards and all these cool 1960s type dials and knobs and levers. It looked like a little mini mission control, and I wanted one. And at the end of the episode, Cronkite said, "In the future, you may not have to go to work. The work will come to you." But Uncle Walter never imagined that someday that room full of computers and keyboards would be condensed down to a little 3-by-5-inch rectangle that you could slip in your pocket and take with you anywhere. And he never said, "In the future, work will follow you. It will follow you home, out to dinner, and to your child's Little League game. And that's the way it will be." Back then, it took effort to stay in constant touch with the office. And if you did, that was a sign of being a workaholic. I know, because I remember reading that back then in a Reader's Digest. But now, we're always in touch, because work's got our number and the phone is on us. I got my first cell phone about 14 years ago, when my dad was dying. And my wife got one then too. And we had 2 teenage daughters, and we got them each one the following Christmas. And for a few years, we are all one big, happy family plan. But kids grow up, and they move away, and they move off of your plan. And for a while, it was just like it used to be, my wife and me. until a few months ago when she finally caved and got a smartphone because she needed it for her business. And that left me having to scramble, and I got the cheapest GoPhone plan I could find, and I was alone, just me and my flip phone. And not 2 weeks after that traumatic breakup, I got a flyer in the mail from AT&T telling me that in January, my old phone wouldn't work on their new network. But I had an option of getting two different phones with no strings attached. So I waited till right before deadline, went down to the AT&T store, but they didn't have any of those free phones, but they did give me an 800 number. So I called that number and they gave me another phone number. And I called that number and they said I didn't qualify. So I hung up. And it was the day before my birthday, that thin time when the barrier between reality and me is at its thinnest. And easy to pass through in either direction. So I took that flyer and on the back, I wrote a letter to Lori Lee, a senior executive vice president and global marketing officer for AT&T. And I told Lori my tale of woe. And her bio said she had a couple kids in college. And I told her how my two college-age kids had seduced my wife away from AT&T. And how I would follow them if I didn't get one of those free phones before December without having to climb any more phone trees. And if I did leave, the only thing tying me to AT&T would be that thin strand of twisted copper wire that connects us to the internet. And a couple weeks later, I got a phone call from AT&T assuring me they were expediting everything. And I got another phone call right after that telling me that the phones were on the way. And another one telling me if I needed anything to give them a call. And I wondered just how far up the chain that letter went. And I hadn't really been thinking much about phones because right after my birthday, my life went south and I was thrust into that long, dark night of the soul that I have heard and read so much about. Except it only lasted a couple weeks, but after 1 week, I knew I needed help and I set up a therapy appointment. I still had to wait a week until I'd had my appointment the day after Election Day. And I woke up that day, the day of my first appointment, of my first therapy session ever, and for the first time ever, I heard that term, President-elect Trump. And my new phone arrived in the mail. And I didn't touch it for a few days, but when I finally did, it wasn't much different from my old phone because I picked the flip phone. I know the smartphone would have been the smart choice because they're way easier to text with, but I don't text because I am too slow to text. When I read something, I need time to think about it. And if I'm writing something, I need even more time. And while I'm doing all that thinking, my thoughts tend to wander off little tangential thoughts because my mind loves to wander and my mind loves to wonder. And lately, I've been wondering if maybe we should get rid of our landline. Because it seems like every time it rings, it's a recording or a charity or some kind of survey or someone trying to sell us something, even though we're on the official do not call list. But I'm afraid that if I do get rid of that landline, no one will ever call us. They'll either call my wife or they'll call me, and I'll never answer because I don't usually have my phone with me. I leave it at home accidentally or on purpose. I'll bring it with me if I know I'm gonna call someone or someone might be calling me, or I might have it buried in the back, in the bottom of my backpack for weeks at a time. And when I do need it and pull it out, dig it out from up there, it's dead. And I have to take it home and recharge it like Frankenstein's monster. And when I do does come back to life, there are all these zombie missed messages and voicemails. But not as many as there used to be, because after years of practicing my call management techniques, people are starting to catch on. But if I do finally cut that landline, I'll probably end up being more isolated than I ever was growing up when the eight of us shared that one phone, because that's what families did 45 years ago, back in the good old days. Back in the days when Sundays were sacred. Happy solstice.